Hello, and welcome to Grandpa's Tales of Terror. Thank you for joining. Let's continue following Peter and Olivia in drum, lento tempo. Now close your eyes and let your imagination carry you into a world of fear and horror. A couple of months went by before Olivia and Peter heard from Samuel. He phoned them to come by the shop, and he would tell them what he found out about the box and its contents. After an afternoon rehearsal, Olivia and Peter stopped in at Samuel's store. Hearing the bell, Samuel came from the back of the store and told them to sit down at the table behind the counter. He then went and put his closed sign up and locked the door. Walking back, he asked if they would like a coffee. Both Olivia and Peter politely declined, so Samuel poured himself one. Sitting down at the table, he had in front of him a file. Olivia and Peter could tell that he was very excited. Samuel opened up the file folder and started telling them what he had found out about the box and its contents. He began by saying the box was made out of copper and had been lined with lead, which is why it was heavy for Peter. Sheepishly, Peter looked at Samuel, then at Olivia, and said, "It wasn't that heavy." Continuing, Samuel told them the cloth lining the inside was a very expensive silk used by dressmakers, tailors, and to make altar cloths for the Catholic Church. Peter nodded and asked, "What about that?" Samuel leaned in and told them the new shipment of items he received was from an old monastery that had been closed. He had put in a winning bid for the complete contents and received everything. He was able to find the shipping manifest, and he found the box on the list, but the pages had been stuck together, so he had missed it originally. He got up to get himself another cup of coffee, and that was when Peter asked for one. Samuel poured both. Then walked back to the table. Flipping a page over, he then went to the drum. He began by saying the skin couldn't be identified, and neither could the hair. But it was not horsehair. It was inconclusive. The wood frame, however, was made from a fig tree. The percussion mallet was made of bone, but what kind was inconclusive. The carvings are letters from different languages. The friend who looked at the mallet took photos from every perspective and said that they would get back to him once they figured out what the carvings were saying. Peter mentioned that sounded really expensive. Samuel looked at him and told him that he wasn't paying anything. His friend, for many years, wanted the challenge. He's a linguistics professor at a university, and he's bored. Continuing on to the flute, Samuel told them, again, it was made out of bone, but inconclusive as to what type of bone, animal or human. They did say, however, that it looked like an ulna bone, similar to those in birds and other winged animals, but the difference was the inside cavity of the bone, which is called the medullary. In humans, this area typically has small holes in it called trabecula. Animals, on the other hand, usually don't have these small holes. The inside cavity is often smooth. However, the inside of this bone did not fit either category. They asked, Samuel whispered, where I got this from, so I lied. Peter looked at Olivia, then at Samuel, and asked, what did he make out of all of this? Samuel leaned back and said, I don't know. Jokingly, he said it almost feels like some sort of conspiracy. They all laughed. Olivia then asked what was he going to do with the drum and flute. Samuel sat up and thought for a moment. He then told Olivia and Peter that since he was so busy at the moment, if they could take the box and its contents and look or investigate where the items came from and who made them, it would give him more time to do other things, adding, he still had a business to run. Olivia and Peter looked at each other and turned and said yes at the same time.
Yes!
Good, said Samuel, who then got out of his chair and walked to the back. He came back with the dolly, and on the dolly was the box. It was in a padded protective cover. Peter looked and asked how come he didn't clean it up and polish it. Samuel looked at him and said, a patina helps tell a story about an antique as well as show that it's genuine. If you remove it, you might be losing a lot of money. A friend of mine, he continued, who's a metallurgist, took pictures and not sure what else to be able to maybe get an estimate on an age. Samuel handed the dolly to Peter and told him to keep the dolly until it's brought back. As they left, Olivia opened the door, let Peter and the dolly through, waved at Samuel, and shut the door. Samuel watched as they walked away and thought to himself, two kids in a candy store. There wasn't a rehearsal for the next few days, so both of them were excited to start their investigation into who made the instrument. Putting on the gloves that they had bought, they took everything out of the box and examined their respective instruments and even switched to look at the pieces with fresh eyes. They also used a magnifying glass. They discussed other people that they might know to possibly help them. Samuel was going to get back to them once his friend, the linguist, was able to decipher what languages were carved on the percussion bone, which could take a while. Olivia told Peter that she had a cousin who was a nun and who might be able to find out something about the monastery or at least point them in the right direction. Not sure where to continue next, the two of them sat across from each other, enjoying a glass of wine and talking about their next steps. Peter got up and started pacing. Reviewing what had been said about the bone, the skin, and the hair on the drum, all being inconclusive. Peter said all they know is that the frame of the drum is from a fig tree. Why a fig tree? Peter put it out there as a general question. He further went on to say that if everything else is inconclusive, why is it wood from a fig tree? Olivia didn't know. She suddenly looked up and said, what if we were to play them? Peter sat back down and replied, do you think we should? Olivia answered back, why not? Peter then asked, so you would want to put your mouth on something that's been in a copper box for God knows how many years? Blushingly, she replied, I've had it on worse. Peter looked at her with surprise in his eyes, but then he realized she was joking. But then, was she? He sat down beside her and said that she had the toughest part of this assignment, where he just had to use his hands. They both looked at each other and laughed. She looked and gave him a quick kiss on the lips. Looking at the clock, they decided to hit the sack because they had an early rehearsal tomorrow. Hello, everyone. This is Grandpa from Grandpa's Tales of Terror. I just wanted to wish all of my listeners a very safe, happy, and merry Christmas and a happy New Year. Are you naughty or nice? My wish this year is to have Santa bring more presents to the ones who are naughty. Now close your eyes and let your imagination carry you into a world of fear and horror.